support from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Hello again and welcome to the broadcast. We'll begin at the gas pump for the first time in a long time. Gas is averaging below $4 a gallon nationwide. Not since April have we been able to say that. But correspondent Tom Costello says the gas savings could be short-lived.
I've been talking to oil and gas analysts. They think we're going to probably hug the $4 a gallon mark, 25 cents either side of that, for some time to come. Now, remember, during the Russian invasion of Ukraine back in March, the White House tapped the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, 1 million barrels of oil every day. That ends in October. So that could send prices higher. This may be a short-term reprieve.
The price at the pump in New York and Pennsylvania considerably higher than the national average, about 30 cents higher at last check. The U.S. House will vote tomorrow on the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, the $739 billion spending plan not sitting well with conservatives.
The only way out of this problem is for government to stop spending our money.
Dr. Kevin Roberts with the Heritage Foundation.
The best way to reduce inflation is for the House to defeat that bill. If they pass that bill, then you can expect inflation to continue to go up. And I certainly wouldn't want to be Joe Biden in October, November, or a member of his political party running for re-election in the U.S. House.
The U.S. House vote on the Inflation Reduction Act is expected to pass, and then it's on to the president for his signature. We're learning more today about this week's raid on former President Trump's home. Was there a spy inside Mar-a-Lago? FBI Director Christopher Wray.
That's not something that I can talk about.
Byron York with the Washington Examiner says the Biden administration's silence on this story is deafening.
The most incredible thing about this event, which we should remind everybody was totally unprecedented, never happened before in U.S. history, is that we just don't know what happened.
What we do know is that the FBI searched Trump's bedroom and office and storage room for more than 9 hours on Monday. A Trump attorney describing the scene today.
There were about 30 to 40 FBI agents that I saw, five of which were wearing suits. The rest were in cargo pants, masks, and gloves. And they basically had unfettered access to the property. They refused to talk to me.
Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez has more on what led to the search and seizure operation.
Newsweek says it was based largely on information from a confidential FBI source who was able to identify what classified documents Mr. Trump may have been hiding and even the location of the material. The search reportedly timed to take place when he was away.
President Biden says he knew nothing of the raid. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley doesn't believe him.
I don't believe for a minute, not for a minute, that the White House was totally in the dark on this. This is Joe Biden's FBI. It is Joe Biden's DOJ, and they have weaponized this FBI at every turn.
The federal judge who rubber-stamped the raid has given the Justice Department until Monday to respond to a lawsuit seeking to unseal the search warrant. Republicans are demanding an FBI briefing on the raid by next week. President Biden on vacation at Kiawa Island off the coast of South Carolina. His son Hunter, who's under federal investigation, is on vacation with him. The owner of the Delaware repair shop who blew the whistle on Hunter's laptop says the FBI is partial to the First Family.
It's a blatant double standard. My family and I have witnessed the bias in the FBI going back as far as October of 2019 when they refused to touch the Hunter Biden laptop with a 10-foot pole.
Hunter Biden could be indicted soon over his finances and foreign business dealings. Donald Trump's former National Security Advisor John Bolton is thanking the Justice Department after it foiled an assassination attempt that was hatched by a member of the Iranian National Guard. The plot was exposed by an FBI informant who was offered $300,000 for Bolton's murder. John Bolton was the target of Iran because of a 2020 drone strike that killed an Iranian general. In the battle of the buses, it's Abbott versus Adams as the illegal immigration debate starts to heat up close to home. Several Northeast cities now feeling the effects. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's been busing migrants from the border to the Big Apple, where Mayor Eric Adams is not happy about it. He's threatening to send busloads of people to Texas to try and unseat Governor Abbott in the fall election. And And to that, the governor says,
go ahead, Mayor. Make my day. This is rank hypocrisy by the New York governor, by the New York mayor.
The governor is busing migrants to New York to make a point about the president's open borders policy. He says the bus trips will not stop until the Biden White House does something about illegal immigration. Serena Williams is one tournament closer to retirement after losing in the second round of the Canadian Open. In her on-court interview after her match, Williams said farewell to Toronto.
I'm terrible at goodbyes, but goodbye.
Hall of Fame tennis coach Rick Mackey.
It's time, and she knows it's time, but she's come to realize she doesn't have the firepower, and she's going to end it the way that she wants to.
The 40-year-old Williams will retire from tennis after the U.S. Open in New York. Still to come on the Noon Report, is the phone linked to the home? Congressman Scott Perry thinks so. Help wanted in the classroom and on the ball field. Plus, we'll tell you about the Pennsylvania coach in the right place at the right time.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams, looking toward the weekend weather, and it's a good look. I've got forecast details coming up in 10.
All right. Like the sound of that. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, New York State has had an about-face and will allow off-duty cops to carry weapons at the state fair this year. Yesterday, it was announced they would not be allowed to carry. But after public uproar, the fair announcing today that it is reversing course, and now off-duty cops can carry again. A judge in Philadelphia has reinstated murder charges against a woman who was driving under the influence this year, resulting in the deaths of two state troopers and a civilian. Those cops were killed while assisting a man who was walking along the side of I-95 in South Philly back in March. Small business owners are up in arms over the federal government's plans to hire nearly 90,000 new IRS agents over the next decade.
This is not the time to be doubling the size of the IRS, to go after people who are trying to be profitable and put food on the table, hire more workers, and grow the economy.
Vance Jin is a small business owner from Central New York, and he says people like him are in the crosshairs of the IRS.
It's going to give them more of a military force to go after those who are supposedly cheating on their taxes, with really not a lot of evidence that that's even the case.
A recent Syracuse University survey showed the IRS targets the poor at about five times the rate of everyone else. Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry is talking for the first time since the FBI confiscated his cell phone. The phone has since been returned, but Perry says the damage is done.
This is my personal cell phone that I talk to my wife on, that I talk to my children on, my constituents. None of the government's business. Why do they follow me, find me when I'm traveling with my family? They don't come to my house. Why do they come and seize my cell phone in that fashion? They want this spectacle. They want this show. They want the intimidation.
He thinks the Fed's seizure of his phone is linked to the raid on Donald Trump's home in South Florida. The two events happened just hours apart.
Do they think that President Trump packed the boxes at the White House to take to Mar-a-Lago? This is all about 2024 and their disdain for President Trump and the fact that they know he's coming back.
Perry's a subject of a Democrat-led congressional probe into the January 6th Capitol attack because of his calling into question the results of the 2020 election. New York Governor Kathy Hochul's concerned about the lack of jobs for the transgender. She has directed the state labor department to conduct a study on the statewide employment rate of transgender individuals. Hochul says New York's seeing higher rates of unemployment and homelessness among the transgendered. Power prices are on the rise in Pennsylvania. Half of the Commonwealth's electric providers are resetting their energy prices come the 1st of September, and that means most Pennsylvanians will see an increase in their monthly electric bills. Rochester, New York is a city very much under siege these days. It has seen nearly 50 homicides this year, and that has many residents afraid to wander onto the street.
Pretty scary, because I don't want to walk outside and, like, you know, get shot or anything.
Just all the violence, the drugs, I mean, it's a lot.
Rochester cops are redoubling their efforts to get to the root cause of crime. Officer Ron Malley's been knocking on doors in the communities that he serves to share resources on how to reduce crime.
Some are receptive and some maybe not, which is fine. We're just trying trying to give people an option, knowing that we're here. There is some hope, and hopefully try to continue to build the relationships with the community.
Mayor Malik Evans has extended a citywide state of emergency due to escalating gun violence. The National Transportation Safety Board has released its report on the plane crash that killed celebrity attorney Steve Barnes from the Salino and Barnes law firm. That crash killed Barnes and his niece Elizabeth. They were flying from New Hampshire to Buffalo in October of 2020 when the small aircraft went down in Genesee County. Barnes was at the controls and he did not have any drugs or alcohol in his system at the time. Also, the NTSB says weather was not a factor. Schools across New York and Pennsylvania are in crisis mode as thousands of teachers are needed, but few are pursuing the profession. Tom Feltman's been teaching elementary school in Western New York for over 20 years.
Times are tough right now. A lot of people are jumping ship.
New York will need nearly 200,000 teachers over the next decade. Pennsylvania needs to fill thousands of teacher and principal roles by the middle part of this decade. Heather Pesky with the National Council on Teacher Quality says schools that can least afford it are seeing the highest turnover in teachers.
Some of it just has to do with the demands on teachers.
A third of educators are expected to retire within the next 5 years. Pay, benefit, and burnout are the three leading causes for the teacher shortage problem. Well, it's not just teachers that are in short supply these days. There's also a critical shortage of umpires and referees for high school sports.
It's all sections, all sports throughout the state of New York. We need officials more than ever before.
Robert Zayas heads the New York State Public High School Athletic Association.
The lack of officials is a major crisis for us. Ultimately, it negatively impacts our student athletes. If we do not have officials, then we can't play games, and they can't receive the incredible benefit that they receive by playing and participating in high school sports.
Zayas says many scheduled games are being turned into scrimmages because of the shortage of sports officials. Refs and umps are needed for 32 different high school sports all over New York. One Western Pennsylvania youth football coach was in the right place at the right time this week, and it wound up saving a life. Family Life's Brian Query has the incredible story.
Whatever miracles a Kiske Valley youth football coach might perform in leading his team to victory this season will pale in comparison to the action he performed earlier this week near the field where his team was practicing. Christian Clayton heard cries for help and sprinted towards them, finding a mother holding her baby in distress. The baby had gotten a cap from a soda pop bottle in his mouth and had lodged it in his throat. A veteran who served as a medic in the Air Force, Clayton said his training kicked in and he performed compressions on the baby's back to dislodge the cap, then dragged it out with his finger. Clayton said it was a miracle that he was at the field that afternoon with his team, as they normally practice in the evenings, but this week, camp is during the day. The baby's mother calls Clayton a blessing, and his timing, a miracle. Brian Query, Family Life News.
What an incredible story. Thank you, Brian. Let's talk sports next. It's the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the New York Yankees continue to struggle. They have dropped 8 of their last 10 games after last night's loss to Seattle. Carlos Santana and Sam Haggerty both hit home runs, and the Mariners beat the Yanks 4-3. Seattle has won 2 of 3 from the New Yorkers for the second straight week. In fact, Seattle has not lost a series to anyone but Houston since mid-June. Aaron Judge seems to be the one constant bright spot for New York. He hit his 45th home run of the season. Elsewhere in the American League, neither Toronto nor Baltimore could gain any ground in the East as their game was rained out. The Angels won in 12, 5-4 over Oakland. It was Cleveland 3-2 winners against Detroit. Texas doubled up Houston 8-4 in 10 innings. And Kansas City downed the White Sox 8-3. The New York Mets won their 6th in a row, beating up Cincinnati 10-2. Tyler Naquin hit his 10th home run on the season. Daniel Vogelbeck drove in 3. The Phillies' Kyle Schwarber drove in a pair of runs to lead Philadelphia over Miami 4-3. And Ben Gamel had 3 RBIs to help the Pirates win over Arizona 6-4. Elsewhere in the National League, the Cubs doubled up Washington 4-2. San Diego beat San Francisco 13-7, and the Cardinals down the Rockies 9-5. Let's talk football. The NFL preseason kicks off tonight on the heels of last week's Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Tonight, the Giants visit New England while the Ravens host the Titans. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, thank you very much. And still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, home explosion levels Evansville. The Field of Dreams game tonight in Dyersville. And was there a spy inside Mar-a-Lago? We'll take a closer look after this.
If friends are really the family you choose, as the platitude goes, what happens when people start choosing friendship, not in addition to family, but instead of it? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Particularly, quote, in the LGBTQ community, it's not uncommon to find a substitute family, known as a chosen family. Danny Bloom recently wrote in an article in the New York Times, according to Bloom, a chosen family refers to, quote, the intense, intimate relationships that people form apart from their biological relatives. It's the kinship you create outside of a traditional family structure. Of course, chosen families are not really a new phenomenon, nor are they exclusive to LGBTQ people. But in an age so quick to write essential relationships off as toxic, they're becoming increasingly common and consequential. Relationships were designed by God to be a gift of His common grace. Certain relationships, like the intimacy between a husband and wife or the bond between parents and kids, are distinct in purpose and unique in function, irreplaceable in their roles as building blocks of society. Friendships, from our deepest commitments to common neighborliness, are to be treasured. And it's important to remember that Jesus taught of another tie that binds the redeemed even beyond blood relationships, secured by His blood. He asked in Matthew's gospel, "Who's my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then, pointing to His disciples, answered His own question, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The church, then, is a family in an even deeper sense of the word. It's the family that's chosen by God. It has the capacity to fill needs keenly felt by those whose home life has been broken, characterized by absence, abuse, or hostility. The troubling thing about so-called chosen families, at least in our modern context, is what they're intended to replace. Rather than simply expand the scope of family or letting friends step into a gap, we increasingly employ these relationships to shove away and replace biological families. The harms of this are most evident to children, as decades of studies have shown with stunning clarity. Biological fathers and mothers each contribute things that are irreplaceable by any other relationship. Even in the case of adoption, the most redemptive of all relational arrangements, deep emotional wounds often remain that children must process. In its glee over creating so-called family out of any assorted collection of people, our society has forgotten that the biological family is actually baked into the world by God's intent. Family's not an accident of history. It's not a social construct that can just be replaced. In fact, so-called chosen families are already failing to meet people's basic relational needs despite their popularity. As Joshua Coleman wrote in The Atlantic, quote, studies on parental estrangement have grown rapidly in the past decade, perhaps reflecting the increasing number of families who are affected. In one survey of mothers aged 65 to 75, 1 in 10 reported being estranged from an adult child. 62% reported contact less than once a month. Now, part of the beauty of biological families is that they're not chosen. In essence, they're built around obligation, a duty to the other, not merely as a means of self-fulfillment. By contrast, if we can just opt into a group of friends, we can just as easily opt out. Will these so-called chosen replacements endure the demands of life, of illness, of aging? In such an age, the church is calling to be a family for those who have none matters all the more. Like the family, the church is no social construct. It's a reality baked into the world by the one who created it. He's the same one who included man and woman, husband and wife, mother and father in the design specs of the universe and especially of humanity. And any society that tries to write these relational realities out of the story of the world will not fare well. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Let's take it outside next, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Overall pleasant, a mix of clouds and sunshine, but there can be a brief shower or thundershower. Most of us are dry. High temperatures within a few degrees of 80, a little breezy at times. And then for the night tonight, clear to partly cloudy, moonlit skies, comfy, cool, low in the 50s. Then for tomorrow and Saturday, beautiful with abundant sunshine, crisp, fresh air, daytime high temperatures, mostly in the 70s.
All right, we will take it. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's happening this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of August. For the first time since April, the national average for a gallon of gasoline is below the $4 threshold. AAA says the $3.99 mark is 15 cents lower than last week and 68 cents lower than a month ago. Industry analyst Phil Flynn says, before you get too excited,
my expectations are with lower gasoline prices, more people will start to drive and those prices are going to start edging up.
He expects the price at the pump to start going up again within the next couple of weeks and keep going up right through the end of the year. Newsweek and the Wall Street Journal both reporting today that it was an informant who told the FBI about classified documents and where to find them at the home of Donald Trump in South Florida.
This is a stain on our republic that will not be forgotten. To put 30 agents in for 9 hours, have them go through a former first lady's clothes closet, it's just wrong.
Former Assistant Secretary of State Robert Charles.
We're talking about the first time in the republic's history going into a former president's home and turning it upside down. This is not something that should happen in America.
The federal judge who rubber stamped the raid has given the Justice Department until Monday to respond to a lawsuit seeking to unseal that search warrant. Republicans are demanding an FBI briefing on the raid by next Wednesday. Former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton says he was at the center of a murder-for-hire plot, and it involved a member of the Iranian National Guard. Iran apparently offered $300,000 to an undercover FBI agent for the murder of Bolton, who also served as America's ambassador to the UN. The assassination plot in retaliation for that U.S. drone strike in the year 2020 that took out Iran's top military general. At least three people killed when a home exploded in Evansville, Indiana. 39 other homes were damaged, a dozen of those homes so badly damaged you can't live in them. This survivor describes what happened.
I was just hanging out on the couch, watching some TV, and window come in right behind me. And blue glass on my hair. I'm thankful I'm not scratched on me.
Investigators are still looking into the cause of that blast. It is the second deadly home explosion in that part of Evansville, Indiana, the past 5 years. Shoppers getting squeezed by record high inflation are worried that back to school shopping will further strain those already tight budgets. A new Bankrate.com poll finds over 4 in 10 shoppers are cutting back on spending this year. Families with children in K through 12 schools will spend an average of $864 on back to school shopping. Well, it's back to school for millions of students, but a nationwide teacher shortage could pose some problems in the classroom.
Kindergarten teacher Natalie Tran is excited to be back in the classroom, but she's not surprised that many other teachers across the country did not return.
We need higher pay, more respect, because it's extremely difficult.
Nationally, there are more than 280,000 fewer public school teachers than before the pandemic. Florida is scrambling to fill 8,000 openings. In Illinois, 88% of school districts surveyed are battling a shortage. In Charlotte, HR manager Laura Francisco is busy trying to hire 373 teachers before school starts at the end of the month.
It's a huge responsibility.
So the district is offering extra cash to teachers.
A sign-on incentive as well as additional monthly pay.
Dallas is offering as much as $3,500 to recruit and retain teachers.
That's correspondent Elise Preston. We're coming up on 25 past the hour, and you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Erica Steinmiller-Perdomo, counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. Would you tell us about the new requirement the Biden administration is linking to gender identity?
So the Biden administration is redefining the meaning of sex in Title IX, and the requirement will affect all schools that participate in the USDA's National School Lunch Program. Essentially, what's occurring in this case is that the government is threatening to withhold funds from this Christian school, Grant Park Christian Academy, based on them not wanting to comply with this new definition of the Title IX policies.
My understanding is that the USDA under Secretary Tom Vilsack, he's spearheading the requirement. What would this really mean for public and Christian schools?
So the USDA administers the National School Lunch Program. Funds are dispersed at the state level. In this case, Florida Department of Agriculture is the one responsible for administering the National School Lunch Program at the state level. And what it means for Christian or any public schools, essentially any schools that receive funding from the federal government will be impacted by these changes.
I was looking a little more in depth at what came out from the USDA, and it mentioned, of course, basically anyone who receives funds must investigate allegations of discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation. But that wasn't it. They also said organizations must update their non-discrimination policies and signage to include prohibitions against discrimination based on gender identity and sexual orientation. This is a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. The USDA memo requires updating websites, policies, putting posters in the school. So it requires the school to comply with a lot of new measures, including implementing this new complaint procedure. The regulations that they're trying to impose, they'll apply to the whole institution. So this is going to affect the bathrooms. This is going to affect school uniform policies, hiring, and the use of so-called preferred pronouns in school and daily conversations.
We've learned that in New York State, the SUNY, the State University System of New York, will be changing their pronoun policy effective next fall. And this seems like the whole country is kind of moving in this direction. At least 22 state attorneys general are challenging the move in court. Do you have any updates for us? Like, when is the USDA hoping to begin the requirement? And what's the status of the case against the USDA?
Per the USDA's memo that they released, they required compliance with updating websites as early as 90 days after issuance of the memo. So the changes that are being required in schools, especially in Grant Park Christian Academy, those changes are effective as of now. So yes, there's this lawsuit by the 22 attorney generals. Florida is not included in that lawsuit, and that's why we filed suit on behalf of Grant Park Christian Academy to challenge implementation of this unlawful mandate in Florida.
Do you have any recommendations for us, Erica, on what each of us can do out of concern for children in the local schools on this topic?
Well, I think that we need to continue to push back against government overreach that threatens our religious freedoms and push back against being required to introduce this radical gender ideology into a Christian school, a school that is protected under federal law from having to violate its religious beliefs in this way. And so we would ask for prayers to support this mission and to make sure that the children in schools continue to be fed meals that they depend on, and that school lunch is not taken away by the Biden administration's unlawful policies.
That's ADF's Erica Steinmiller-Perdomo. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
And the name of the program is Faith Under Fire. Comes your way Thursdays during the noon report. You can also catch it online anytime. Go to familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Behind a weak cold front crossing the area today lies sprawling high pressure centered in northern Minnesota. That high will be the key to unlocking some lovely weather here as we aim for the weekend. But for this afternoon, Overall pleasant, a mix of clouds and sunshine, but there can be a brief shower or thundershower. Most of us are dry. High temperatures within a few degrees of 80, a little breezy at times. And then for the night tonight, clear to partly cloudy, moonlit skies, comfy cool, low in the 50s. Then for tomorrow and Saturday, beautiful with abundant sunshine, crisp, fresh air, with daytime high temperatures mostly in the 70s.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you kindly. And finally at noon.
Is this heaven? Iowa.
Major League Baseball's Field of Dreams game returns tonight in Dyersville, Iowa. Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz will do the play-by-play.
When you get here and you see the uniqueness, the storylines, you'll never forget it. It'll be a game that, you know, for a broadcaster, for me, last year was unmatched. It'll be in the top two of the games I've ever done. As a player, you'll feel the same way.
That's saying something right there. Tonight's contest between the Cincinnati Reds and Chicago Cubs marks the second installment of what has become an instantaneous MLB classic.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
The game is an homage to the 1989 Kevin Costner film, which tells the story of a Midwestern farmer who builds a baseball field in his cornfield, which ends up attracting the ghosts of baseball legends. Will Kane of Fox News describes why this game in this venue means so much to so many, especially for guys.
Men often speak in movie lines, Field of Dreams. You hear the speeches, you recite the speeches here in Dyersville. But more importantly, Joey Votto, really the most famous player tonight of the Reds, had a fascinating tweet thread where he said he lost his dad 14 years ago. Field of Dreams is a father-son story, and it is about reconnecting and having one more catch with your dad. This movie is here, not just in our hearts, but in America's heart, as is baseball.
Joey Votto of the Reds and Ian Happ of the Cubs will each be mic'd during tonight's game. That should be fun. Now, last year's inaugural Field of Dreams contest between the Chicago White Sox and New York Yankees went right down to the wire. It ended up being the most watched baseball game of summer. We'll see how tonight's game fares. Coverage on Fox starts at 7. And that's the world we live in. Thursday, the 11th of August. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.